Okay, hold on. I got it. You're here. I'm queer. Let's
Yeah,
pop open a beer.
Nat.
Yes.
Right. So,
Oh, and if you see him, Ally Cali, like Ally Cali, Ally Cali. I'm gonna like, like you're the Resi Lezzy, I'm the Ally
you're tired of
Cali.
the boxing.
I just wanted to change it up. Try something different.
All right, well, let's get after this.
Well, what do you think?
I think it sounds great. I think that it's wonderful.
You're like, I don't fucking care. Let's just fucking do this
No,
shit.
I think it sounds great. Dude, that sounds great. I think we're getting better and better
Oh.
every time. Hey
Fucking
y'all.
better be.
Welcome
We're getting
back.
worse. We have problems.
Right, exactly. Hey y'all. Welcome back to yet another
Hey, y'all.
podcast. Dude, can I be like sexy in the beginning and be like, "Hey y'all. Welcome.
Please do.
Welcome back to yet
Hey,
another
y'all.
podcast." Okay. Hey y'all. Okay. That doesn't sound good either.
Stop. You
Hey.
don't have to say that.
Hey. That's what I'm doing. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Hey. Oh, all right, really. Seriously though. We're here. We're queer. Let's have another beer. I don't have a beer in front of me today, sadly. I have some really good
I
report.
do.
You do. You are so lucky. I have a replenishment
Well,
water.
right.
Because I got drunk last night.
Well, that's why you, if anything, that's exactly why you need one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we are excited to be here again to continue to help LGBTQ community and bring stories of the LGBTQ community, historical figures, really just help educate people and maybe, hopefully, set others free if they're going through some similar situation and they don't really know what to do or where to go next. Maybe they're just coming out. We're super glad to be able to share these stories. You're not alone. Like, I know we keep saying that, but seriously, y'all, you're not alone. So I hope that you enjoy it and you can learn something along the way. I'm, of course, the Resi Lezzy, Caitlin.
The Ally Cali or Ally Cali.
Did
Not
I
really sure about
I mean,
that.
it's nice. So reminder, just like we do at every beginning of the show, follow us on Instagram at Lavender Lies. Email us your story. We'd love to hear it, and we'd love to feature you, put you on, get your story out there. Perhaps it will help somebody else. It's mylavenderlies@gmail.com. You can find us on the interwebs at mylavenderlies.com. You can also submit a story on there as well. And you can find us on Facebook at My Lavender Lies. So go, follow, like, share, tweet, twat, whatever it's called. Do all the stuff, all of it. We don't have a Twitter, so you can't tweet or twat, but you can follow it. So enjoy.
But give us something to talk about, please.
Yes, we've gotten a few stories along the way. We always need more. Don't feel sheepish or shy. Like, we would love to hear it, and I'm sure there's somebody else out there who needs to hear it.
Yes.
Yes.
So we are in February 2021, still in the middle of this pandemic. And this month, like every month and every February in the year, is Black History Month. So we wanted to focus on the struggles of our queer Black community from around the globe, not just in the United States, but around the globe.
Heck yes. While we are not women of color, we have many friends that are. We love the community and we just want to be here for for the LGBTQ people of color. So this is no joke. Seriously, some parts of the world are just, they're way more progressive than others. And yes, we have to deal with things in the LGBTQ community, but when you are a person of color or when you are trans, there are even larger things that you have to deal with. And it can be literally scary in other parts of the world how they treat our fellow men and women. And they're just trying to live and love their way through life, but yet, you know, the way people of color are getting treated is, it's freaking scary. It's really scary. And we want to be able to be allies for that community as well and help focus and shed some light on what's going on throughout the world.
So while our Black LGBT community members in the United States are incredibly important, we wanted to focus on the warriors in the communities and countries that have oppressive laws, some of which are so archaic that the people that are fighting seem to be still pretty much underground. But we know that you are out there. For instance, Nigeria has probably some of the harshest laws, such as if you're convicted of being homosexual, you could receive up to 14 years in prison or the death penalty. And this depends on what part of the country you live in. The northern part of Nigeria is mainly Muslim, and their death penalty is by stoning. I didn't even know places still did that in the world. I mean, horrible. The southern part is Christian, and that's where the maximum penalty in prison is 14 years.
I actually just saw something on Facebook about a particular stoning, and I don't know what country it was in. I went back and I kind of sourced the material that it came from because I was like, there's no way. There's no way this is actually happening. And it is. Like, that's what's so scary. I know members of the community are fleeing and seeking refugee asylum and in safer countries. We actually just lifted our ban for refugee for certain countries. And I think someone can correct me, I'm sure of it, but I believe there was a refugee ban that was going on in the prior administration, and that ban has now been lifted. I'm not exactly certain if it was a certain area or if it was, you know, a ban for refugees completely. So one thing, side note, kind of, actually, about this is I was so nervous when the prior administration had come into office that I actually looked at seeking asylum into different countries because I thought it might get a little crazy. There are a lot of countries that allow you to come in if you're LGBTQ. I know Canada is one of them. Europe, the European countries.
I was going to say, yeah. You looked into Canada, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. And I know a lot of people like looked into Canada. But yeah, I did. And we're in America. Like, that's the part that was really scary for me is like, we're supposed to be, you know, land of the free, home of the brave. And I felt absolutely unfree during that administration. We did a lot of things to protect our rights as a family. But, you know, there's countries that are living with way harsher laws than we are. And I was scared in the environment we were in. I can't even imagine being in these other countries where you could get stoned. That's that's legit scary as shit.
What did you feel was going to, like, what were your fears? Did you think that they were going to, like, reverse same-sex marriages or the rights of children or what?
I think the thought was they were going to reverse same-sex marriages. There was a lot of turmoil with the LGBTQ community as far as that administration, where, you know, it was so, that administration specifically was so unhinged, and I could kind of see it from the beginning. I mean, we let a man who was a freaking television star be the president of the United States of America. So I could tell that it was going to get a little crazy. I am surprised that it took so long for the coup to happen. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I am shocked that it took that long. I thought there was definitely going to be some sort of civil unrest during the administration. And I was just, I was nervous for the safety of my family. I was nervous if, you know, something happened. I just got nervous about the whole thing. I got nervous, you know, what would happen. I mean, they, for God's sakes, they were coming in, ICE was coming in and, stealing parents out of the homes, that were undocumented citizens. I didn't see it firsthand. I heard it firsthand, happening in communities in Los Angeles and San Diego. I know a couple of people down there and it was happening. It, you know, people want to say it wasn't actually happening, but then I thought, you know, if that's happening, what could happen to our family? So I did. I totally looked into it. I feel a little weird saying it out loud, but I did. I looked at it.
Constantly looking at new places to move. So we know this. So that's why I'm just like, oh, where were you looking?
Well, you know, you are like the travel bug. I think when the kids get older, we're definitely going to be able to travel more and like, you know, seek out different places to live for sure. But you totally have the travel bug where you're like, oh, well, I could just, you know, live in, Europe for a year and backpack through, Jamaica, you know, like it's nice. I'm a little jealous. Anyways,
yeah, it never gets settled though. Well, you know, in terms of that administration, I remember, you know, like the community, like, of people I know and having general fear. And I remember thinking in my head, and I verbalized it, but I was like, you know, it's going to go one of two ways. And one of the positive things I saw out of it was that it was going to, all these grassroots were going to come up, right? Because people were going to be like, absolutely not. We're not going to follow along with this administration and we're going to make change at the local level. And that did happen a lot, you know, that happened in different states, different cities, you know, which is what, you know, like when we're talking about Nigeria, there was have you heard of this movie, Ife?
No, I haven't.
So it was two Nigerian filmmakers, Pamela Addy, she was the producer and the writer, and then, I'm going to kill her name, I'm so sorry. I'll just say Itam, but she was the director, and it's a full feature lesbian love story that takes place in Nigeria, and it was released October 10th, 2020, and it beat, the Nigerian government tried to stop it from being released.
What?
And they beat it by... They released it online so that it was still released. I'm not sure if it ever got to the theaters, but it's a huge deal in Nigeria. These women are just kind of like, no, we're, even though it's illegal there, they're still, I mean, they can't even have, they said, what they were saying was if they have people of the LGBT community in movies, they're seen almost like as villains or kind of, yeah, like villains in the movies. They're not as, there's nothing great about it. So this was a big change.
That's really awesome. I'm definitely going to have to go look at it. I know other countries, like, even just discussing LGBTQ issues, you could get in trouble for it. In 2014, the president it was Goodluck Johnson, which, what a name.
Love to have that.
Good luck, Johnson. He passed the same-sex marriage prohibition act, or SSMPA. It didn't just prohibit same-sex marriages. It actually effectively made the LGBTQ community members lesser than in society. So deeming it okay for the police to treat them just how they wanted to treat them, beating them and torturing them. The law was making it okay for them to violate basic human rights. Like, okay, hold on. Last week, there was some issues going on, and I just literally posted, all I want is basic human rights. The people, however you want to say it, there are people in this world that are straight, heterosexual people, and they have basic freaking human rights. I just want basic human rights. I want, my fellow LGBTQ members to have basic human rights. I want people of color to have basic human rights. It's literally, you know, 70 years ago that we were segregating blacks from whites. We had 70 years ago. Like, that's insane to me. And there are still countries in this world that they have archaic LGBTQ policies. And it's insane. So it's not perfect, but in South Africa, they're working to make a better future. So in 1996, South Africa became the first country in the world to enact constitutional policies or constitutional protections for members. And there were actually quite a lot that had passed during that time. So since 2008, retroactive to 1994, legal same-sex activity. There are still state laws in the U.S. where you can go to jail for engaging in sodomy, which is what they call it when men have sex, is sodomy. You can get in trouble for that. So I'm sure, you know, other countries are still dealing with that. But in South Africa, since 2007, it was retroactive to 1994. There's a equal age of consent. 1995, anti-discrimination laws in employment. 97, anti-discrimination laws in the provision of goods and services. 97, also anti-discrimination laws in areas as well as indirect hate speech. 97, anti-discrimination laws concerning gender identity. 98, you could openly serve in the military, which that didn't, that law didn't change for us. What was that?
2000? Forth, back and forth.
Yeah, it, well, yeah, true, back and forth.
But it's just going back and forth about it. It's ridiculous.
I know there was quite a few of my LGBTQ friends that wanted to serve in the military, and it was during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and they chose not to serve because they were afraid. So, you know, South Africa had it a little bit better than us, even in 1998. In 99, they had the recognition of same-sex couples as de facto couples, so a couple living together. 2002, joint adoption by same-sex couples, which is huge. Like, I feel like, damn, they were a little bit farther ahead than we were at some points. 2003, the right to change the legal gender. 2003, IVF access for lesbian couples. I'm curious if that was also for gay males, or if it was only, well, obviously you can't have IVF, but like if two men were looking to get a surrogate, if that was allowed, or if that was still like an issue. So I'd be curious to kind of look that up. 2006 was the recognition of same-sex couples as civil partnerships. 2006, just a little bit after the recognition, same-sex marriages were allowed. 2014, MSM allowed to donate blood. So men who had male sexual partners were allowed to donate blood. We're still not allowed to do that in the U.S. And what we weren't allowed to have same-sex marriages until 2011, I believe, 2010. I should know that, but I don't. And in South Africa, 2019, parental leave for same-sex couples, which is huge. I will tell you, when I didn't get that when my daughter was born, I did not have parental leave. So I wasn't allowed to take off work. I didn't get the pay for that. They just recently enacted for some companies, men being able to get leave after their children are born. I think, you know, I think it's important, but hey, in South Africa, apparently they have it. And in America, we don't. Automatic parenthood for both parents after sex. Not in the works yet, but they are probably looking into intersex minors protected from invasive surgical procedures. So just basically meaning that if someone was born with two parts, and if I'm wrong, Callie, please tell me because I don't want to sound like a dumbo, but if a child was born with two parts, the parent could go in and just choose which part needed to be removed.
Yeah, that's usually...
Yeah.
It would usually be like at birth they might notice, and then they would say, okay, mother and father, what would you like? And then they're kind of like, oh, well, And then usually they're wrong.
Yeah.
And then these kids grow up and they're like, I don't actually ever feel right. And then they find out later, it's like, oh, they were actually intersex.
Man, we need some of this stuff here. conversion therapy for minors. so we finally, I mean, we're still going back and forth with conversion therapy. I think there's been some bans on it in certain states, but still other states can do it. LGBTQ anti-bullying policies in school. I don't want to compare apples to apples, but yeah, we have a lot of that here. We have a lot of issues with that here. And the third gender option, I don't believe that we have that here. Again, you know, write in, correct me if I'm wrong. But a place like Thailand, they have what, third and fourth genders, if I'm remembering correctly?
That's going to be for the next podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, so.
No, go ahead.
I don't want to compare apples to apples. I'm sure if we put out a map, a world map, and looked at it, which actually might be kind of fun, if we have the time to do it, it would be really cool and interesting to kind of talk through that, like who has what laws against LGBTQ and what rights do LGBTQ people have in all of the world. That would be really interesting to actually look at that and see the data on it.
And it's also like when you kind of look at like which countries, where are they located, what is their religious and government policies, it kind of, I mean, that's ends up shaping these attitudes towards these communities, right? Mm-hmm. So while the US, we're not perfect by any means, but we could be a lot worse. Yeah. And we have a country where, you know, we're a mixing pot of people and cultures. And so maybe that has kind of allowed for progressive change. I mean, again, we have a long way to go. But when you compare it to, I don't know, it's like you got Nigeria that's super old fashioned. Then you have South Africa, which was British and Dutch, if I remember correctly. Can you confirm?
I cannot confirm because I don't know how they originated. I probably could figure it out.
I'm gonna say Dutch and British because it's like this weird English, but they use funny words like because I know this one band called D Antwoord, and D is the, and then that's Dutch. I'm gonna just throw that out there. I know all these things.
These random things.
But you know.
Well, you know, they actually have 11 official languages, so I'm wondering if that's how it gets intertwined. If they
have unofficial or they have official?
Yeah, they have 11 official languages. What's even more interesting is 80% of South Africa is Black African. 8.8% is colored, and mind you, this is all from Wikipedia, so if it's poor information, blame Wikipedia. But there was a lot of stuff that happened in South Africa, as far as like the apartheid and the issues with the race wars there that were happening. I do believe there are some race wars that still kind of happen in South Africa. I don't think we hear about it as much, but I do believe there's still wars that do happen there.
I actually know two people from three people from South Africa, and it's kind of dangerous. Like it's dangerous in the sense that there's a lot of political and socioeconomic issues that are going on, which that also makes it really interesting that they are so ahead of the game with these policies.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're kind of like, I don't want to be like they're making up for, but they're trying to go in a different direction for sure. Obviously with all of these, the openness with everything, you have artists and political figures and whatever that are, you know, really on the forefront that are able to be out and free and expressive. So there's this visual artist that documents the life of Black, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people in townships in South Africa. Her name is Zanel Mahali. And she hopes to put forward a political agenda that insists that the Black LGBTQIA plus South Africans are not only seen, but intentionally taken up space in the world. And I saw some of her pictures there. I mean, they're absolutely gorgeous.
I've actually seen her work as well. It's stunning. When you look at her pictures, like, you can feel the souls of the people she has taken pictures of. You can feel the souls within those pictures. They're absolutely remarkable. If you haven't looked it up, go look it up. It's gorgeous work.
Yeah. Yeah. Zanele, and then Muholi.
Yeah. Amazing.
Just
work.
Great.
It is very interesting how we can see, you know, there's such a far contrast between the two of them. You can walk and say something of LGBTQ nature and get stoned in one place in the country, and then in another place in the country where it was, I mean, it's pretty rough from what I understand. Just the civil unrest that's happening there. But yet they're so pro, I mean, seems as though the facade, if it is what it is that they're putting on, is definitely pro LGBTQ. There are some other, you know, areas around the globe. So Brazil, there's a total eclectic mix that live there. The indigenous people of Brazil, many different groups eventually were introduced to the Europeans and Portuguese colony for 300 years. And then the Italians, Germany, Poland, Russia, and the Middle East came over. With them, they brought slaves, and the modernization of Brazil actually started in the 1920s. Combining all of these cultures creates an incredible rainbow of people. And while some of them are the most progressive LGBTQ legislature in the Americas, there are high level of hate crimes and discrimination. I've actually wanted to go to Brazil for a really freaking long time. Because of the amount of hate crimes that happen there, I have chosen not to go. But I think it's a beautiful area to explore. But I've chosen not to go because it's scary.
Yeah, you don't know if you're, especially if, you know, you have a level of feeling safe and free here.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down there, you might just not even realize things that you're doing and who's watching.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know back, there was a surge of violence for the LGBTQ community. It was fairly recent that this was happening. There was people in Brazil from the LGBTQ community that it was a young man who was a school teacher, and he was struck by Stone on his way home from teaching. He claimed his attacker claimed that he was looking at him suggestively. So like you were saying, you could do something unknowingly or make somebody feel a way that you're not even doing, and they could have, they could go and, it's like, the hate crimes there are scary. They could go and stone you just because they thought you were looking at them suggestively. And I know in 2020, there were over 150 transgender people that were killed in Brazil as of September 2020. Like, that's insane. It was 70% higher than the previous year of 2019. So there are a lot.
I wonder if it was that whole, like, like the during, you know, 2020 was stressful. So it's like people were just taking it out on more vulnerable people.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's very interesting. There's a lot of data involving violence against LGBTQ people. And it's produced by a non-government advocacy group and research group down there, Grupo de Gay Baja Institute Belisario Trans Died Educacionos, Educacio, and others that are down there. So I'm a big advocate. If you have, this is great data to have. They need money, they need funds to continue to do it. So if you ever want to donate to any of those groups to continue to help this data, that would be amazing. So kind of in 2020 as well, the Supreme Court struck down a 2015 ruling about banned learning materials without information on gender ideology in municipal schools. This rolls into schools where kids can get comprehensive sex education. So again, I know we talked about this in a previous podcast. There's a lot of issues with sex education. Who can and can't take sex education? Parents banning certain materials from sex education, and then a lot of the issues with depression within our LGBTQ youth is very high because they're not being told about things that are going on and being shown, you know, this is okay. Kind of terrible.
Yeah. And then same also for the counterpart for kids that, you know, are not, if they need to be in situations where they understand that it's okay if you are or you're not.
Yeah.
And then when you start smaller, they're going to be the next generation of accepting of everybody for who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The in Brazil, or the particularly the Afro-Brazilian women of the LGBTQ communities, there's like integral, they've been very integral in challenging the LGBT phobia, sexism, racism, machismo, gender-based violence, police violence, evangelical assaults, and religious racism against Candomblé Terrio. I don't know.
Man, we both need to learn Spanish because we're terrible.
I know, awful, awful. But I mean, so specifically in the state of Bahia and the city Salvador, you have Eleni Reis, and she's a lesbian grassroots organizer, a journalist, and a digital media specialist, reaching out, educating, and fighting for the LGBTQ community. She holds a master's degree in communications and is co-founder, editor, and reporter of the Revista Afirmativa. It's a Black-owned and managed digital and print media outlet dedicated to the Bahian and Black Brazilian community and for readers who are interested in human rights. So that's, I mean, obviously, I have a feeling that's probably going to be in Portuguese, but it would be interesting to kind of check that out, see what's going on in the local community, what you know, local LGBT community people are doing to try to equalize, you know, work, go against all the hate and the hate crimes that are going against their community.
That's really awesome. I know that there's, so that's a project that she's been putting on, I believe, for a while. You can look her up and you can find her information as well. It's Transnational Narratives, the fight for partiracial, I can't say that word, partiracial racism and colonialism in Latin America. The project itself, it's trying to undertake the experiences and exchange Black feminist media platforms in Latin America. So I do, she does have a Facebook group, a Facebook page you can find her on. With Google, you can actually translate the words, though they might come across a little bit differently. You can translate some of the words that are on the print media. So you can take a look at it. It's very interesting.
The other thing, we should have links at the back, like, you know, at the end of this.
Yeah, no, for sure, guys. We're going to start doing better. We'll put some links. You can go on to mylavenderlies.com and we'll put some links to these as well. I think there's a lot of great things that will be coming out that we'll be able to share with you guys. Perhaps some things you didn't know before and you want to get more information. We'll be better, we promise, at adding those links to the blogs, adding links to the podcast itself. So we will be better, we promise.
Yeah.
So kind of to go back to Brazil, they're moving forward to a more inclusive future. They've legalized gay marriage. They've legalized joint and second parent adoptions with broad legal protections. So they still have a while to go. Yeah, like they're, I mean, in America, we still have a long way to go. But we're all at least trying. So I guess there's that. So from 2015 to 2017, over 24,000 crimes were committed in Brazil against the LGBTQ community. Okay, literally 2 years. That's 12,000 crimes a year. In the majority of the cases, those that were victimized were Black. Women like Race were making sure that Black LGBTQ voices are heard in her country and will eventually have better legal protections. I think it is a very important thing for people of color to, especially LGBTQ people of color, to stand up, make your voice heard, because it's not going to get better unless we all start standing up. Allies of Black LGBTQ people, stand up for your friends and family and community that you love.
I wonder how, I mean, you know, 24,000 sounds a lot, but it's probably, I mean, I'm sure it's very underreported.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of sounds like the people don't trust the police.
Right.
So if they had a crime against them, what's the chances of them going to the police 100% of the time?
Slim to none.
Yeah. So it's probably, and you know, that's also like politically, socially, you know, you have so many different kinds of churches down there, and there's that propaganda where it's not right. So, you know, you have people that themselves are just scared and lost, and they blame other people for everything.
It's insane.
It's insane. Speaking of that, shifting our way up towards the north, we have the Caribbean. The Caribbean, for people that don't understand or realize, it's made up of many different smaller island nations. You have, I don't want to say the north, but you have like the east, the west, the south. And, you know, they were all kind of either British colonies. We have Dutch colonies, some French ones. Because of how different all these islands are, they all have different policies in the LGBTQ, with regards to LGBTQ. Barbados, it was an English colony. It is off the northeast end of Venezuela. It's technically, I think, part of Eastern Caribbean, but it's literally like on the most southern part of the Caribbean. And it has some of the strictest anti-LGBTQ policies. For instance, you could get a life in prison sentence for committing buggery. Do you know what buggery is?
I'm going to assume it is some sort of same-sex relationship, sexually.
It's anal intercourse.
Okay.
I don't even think it has to be same sex. I think it can just be anal intercourse. So,
well,
for anybody interested in that.
Well, in Alabama, it is in the United States, it's called sodomy, but it's still illegal. Sodomy is still illegal in the United States. I do know.
With or without consent.
Yeah, exactly. I do know that there's HRW.org, which is the Human Rights Watch. They have, we'll put a link to it, but they have some really disturbing, you know, information that's out there about the safety and fear of living in the Caribbean. So there's one gentleman, Peter from Dominica. Every day I fear for my safety living in this country because of my sexual orientation. I am alive, but if anyone ever finds out and wanted to find out, they can kill me. I am an easy target for anything. That was back in 2017. Another person is Stella. She's a retired nurse from Antigua. The main fear is fear of disclosure, the fear of being found out. They would lose the favor of their family. They may be displaced in their church. People would lose respect for them in their workspaces. They would have a whole lot to lose. 2017, I mean, that's insane. This one scares me. The majority believes absolutely kill them before they reproduce. The average man would think to kill. They would probably do it because it's murder. That's from Michaela in Grenada, 2017. So, I mean, wow. Like, I'm stumbling over my words at this point. There are some safe areas to go to in the LGBTQ community there, but it is kind of scary to think that, you know, being a citizen there, it's a way different culture.
Yeah. You remember, I lived in the Caribbean for a few years, and I love it. I mean, and I knew some people that were gay, but it was not a, like, there was definitely some people that were more out and open about it. But a lot of it was very kind of hearsay, hush hush. You weren't ever really sure what was true or what was not, because gossip is prevalent. And gossip in the sense that it was kind of like shit talking, you know, it wasn't just kind of like, oh, you know, I'm so-and-so, la, la, la. It was more like negative.
Oh, right.
So even if they were out and proud or proud and out, or it wasn't even if they felt comfortable with it, it's if their fellow neighbors were comfortable with them. That was more of the fear base that I felt there for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like almost like they could get somebody out, like someone else is so insulted by their lifestyle that they attack them.
Well, and the thing is too, is like the laws, like even if they're being actively enforced or not, the laws still affect the LGBTQ community. They're in place to keep the community in the closet. So even if you want to be out and proud, there's basically a law just lingering over your head to not be. LGBTQ community people, right? They all suffer discrimination, verbal abuse, and harassment in Barbados, where the Catholic Church and evangelical groups are vocal in their opposition to giving legal rights to the gay and trans community. And in the Caribbean, the church plays a really important role in social welfare and communal life, socialization, and shaping the social attitudes and moral ethics. So, yeah, okay, you, church is huge there. Yeah, church is big-ish here, I guess, but it's huge there. It is part of their everyday culture. So having those churches speak at you and against you in a poor manner, trying to stop getting those laws passed, is just awful because the church is so big there.
Yeah. Going back to that, and I do have to say this because I was like, oh, as you could go to jail, the committing buggery and then the serious indecency. So this is like, if you would go, you could go down to Barbados and let's say you're hand holding and kissing up on, you know, your gal, you potentially land in jail for 10 years.
Yeah.
Just quote unquote for serious, indecency. But these laws are under review. So while they're there, they're not active. Like, they may or may not be actively being enforced. So it kind of, you've heard of the blue laws, right? I don't really know if they have them in California. It's those laws that they put into place years and years and years ago, 100 years ago, and they never took them off the books.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But they could still be enforced. So it's one of those, you know, you have the government, they're saying, oh, well, no, I mean, we're not really doing that. But they're still not making actual changes to these laws. So I think it's like appealing to the church down there saying, oh, we still have these laws here. But then it's almost kind of like they're not really doing anything about it. That's what it seems like to be for me.
Okay.
But even despite this, in 2018, they had their first Pride parade.
Whoop, whoop.
And then in 2020, there were... Yeah, right. Can you imagine being in Barbados at a Pride parade?
Oh my gosh, I would love it.
Wouldn't that be amazing? The only Pride parades I've ever gone to are in San Francisco. So as fun as those are, it's also cold.
Right.
You know, it'd be like, this would be like, everyone's just like running around in like bikinis and.
Hell yeah. I'd be curious. Yeah, I'd be curious to see like, you know, the turnout for it. And I mean, it would be really awesome to see, I guess, just a different side than what I'm hearing and what I've learned about during this podcast. It'd be very interesting to see for sure. Also the bikinis too. I mean, there's that.
And the bikinis too. September 2020, there was talks about recognizing some form of same-sex couples. So I don't know what that's going to look like or what it looks like or what they're actually talking about. But it seems to be stemming from the tourism industry, which that can like sometimes make or break, you know, a country. If they fully depend on tourism, they're going to want to be as open to every single sector of group of people available. And if, let's say, they're like, oh, we can't go to Barbados because they don't like members from the LGBT community, that cuts out a whole group of people that they could have had as tourists and visitors are like, you know, buying stuff and taking selfies and self-promoting the island.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Resi Lizzy, would you travel to Barbados?
I've been to one of the Caribbean islands. I felt okay going there, though we did not hold hands. We did not, we weren't romantic in public. And we were only there for a day. I felt okay. I was also with a straight couple. So I kind of felt like, you know, it looked like a group of friends just going on vacation. But yeah, I mean, essentially, I feel pretty safe going to the Caribbean. I would never wander off go, I think, to some of the islands by myself and without like a tour guide to, or even without researching it to make sure that, you know, I stay out of certain areas, because for sure, like, that's scary and I don't want to be there. And, you know, I don't want to be in Antigua and be like, hey, so like I'm stuck here because I was holding my partner's hand and I am here for the next 5 years in this crazy, insane gel. Like, yeah, no. No, I don't want that. I would probably just be really aware and, you know, make sure I was being smart about what, how we were showing affection or any sort of notion like that on the islands. I think that would be the way I would go. But I would definitely go there. I don't hear as often that there's like hate crimes that happen against the LGBTQ community like you do in Brazil. You hear that all the time. It's in the news often. So I think it's not as scary going to somewhere in the Caribbean, but you know, things could happen. Just be aware, stay safe.
You know, and I, you know, and even like, so where I was, you know, it, I think what it breaks down to on a, you know, a really pure level is, you know, when I lived there, I wasn't making out with anyone. You know, I mean, there's like, there is a, just a general blanket of people being really conservative. Like you go to the beach and none of the local women wear bikinis. Hmm. They wear clothes over their bikinis. Like they're very, very modest. And, so if you can imagine, you know, you go down someplace and you're like half naked running around and so it's kind of, I feel like it's like a two for like where people don't want to be in the closet and totally get that. But there's also like that level of, like when I lived there, I was a good girl.
I doubt that, but you keep going. I mean?
I was, especially compared to living in San Francisco. I was like a freaking wild child there. And then when I moved down to, you know, where I was, I was like, I'm just going to sit here and just observe the culture around me. Try not to get killed. but as we have, you know, members of the LGBT community in every corner of the earth and every oppressive system, in Barbados, there's Danya Pigott. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Danya. She is a Black LGBTQ member from Barbados who spearheaded Be Glad, a public advocacy organization campaigning for the LGBT plus rights. She says that violent acts on the LGBTQ community are low. However, we find that within lower socioeconomic classes or within very religious households, LGBTQ people can feel isolated, rejected, and abandoned. Within schools, LGBTQ youth are still bullied and marginalized. Many LGBT people live rather normal and happy lives, although there are no provisions for civil unions or same-sex marriage in Barbados. Trans women feel it the most in Barbados and are often last employed, and they are often victims of verbal abuse and harassment. So while, you know, this is that whole mental health stuff that we were talking about before.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Hello?
Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, it definitely is. We need to like we need these people. If you feel like you are someone who can speak up, like speak the freaking heck up. Be like Danya. Be like Danya and be like all of these other people that are standing up for Black LGBTQ members. It's really important to have voices and advocacy out there. Okay, so side
note. Yeah, why don't you be like Rihanna, who's also from...
I literally was just going to say, if you knew...
Rihanna, Anna.
Ella, Ella, Ella. We're never going to have a singing career. Oh, I just want to let you know that.
I know. We lost our three listeners.
Wait, who sang that song? Yeah, Rihanna, keep it that way. Stop.
Okay. All right, sister, wrap it up.
Well, you didn't say what. So Rihanna is from Barbados and is an ally of the LGBTQ community and is an ally of the LGBTQ rights. Did you had to say that. That was the most important part. So
also, yeah, let's be all like Rihanna.
Okay, listen, we got Rihanna.
I love Rihanna. I don't care.
We got Rihanna. We got Donya. We have the gal, Elaney.
Elaine Race.
I think it's Elaney, but not 100% sure.
Elaney, I like Elaney.
We have Zanelli. We have, who else did we mention in this? I think that was it. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, we have Etienne. The Effie movie. Effie?
Yeah, the Effie movie. We have a lot of really amazing black LGBTQ members.
We all need to remember to be allies and remember, like, that there's somebody, there are people, there are groups, there are communities with oppression, and we need to stand up for them. One other quick side note is the islands were British colonies, and they have Old English laws enacted in terms of behavior for LGBTQ members. But in England, it's pretty progressive. It's a pretty progressive country in terms of the LGBTQ policies. So I think, you know, the British colonies brought these like laws over with them, and then they just never took them away, and they're just kind of stuck there
because
no one's standing up. Like, get, like, this is our platform to stand up and to use our voice and talk to people. If you have a different platform, use it. Like, we want to help. We want to hear your stories. If you're listening in a different country, which also, side note, there are folks that are listening in different countries. We have, we do have a listener from Australia that I know listens. We have a listener from Thailand that I know that listens, because I know them and I hear that they listen. So woohoo! Like, we have people from different countries. So yay, go us.
We got my girl. Oh, I said, and we got my girl in Honduras, too.
Hell yeah. So, if you're out there, if you're listening,
freaking worldwide.
Right? Woo! Anyways, so if you're out there and you're listening, share your story. We want to hear it. We want to help. We want to continue to give this information. And we want to continue to make sure that all of the LGBTQ voices are heard. From past, present, and the future. So, two things that I'm asking of you folks today. One, donate. So, if you have a particular organization that you like to donate to that has advocacy for LGBTQ community members, please donate there. You can donate to your local community, LGBTQ. So there's lots of them that are typically around larger metropolitan areas. Sacramento has one, LA has one, San Diego has one, New York has one. Like, they even have smaller ones. You know, Arizona has some, Boise, Idaho has one. So go donate to them. You can always donate to us at mylavenderlies.com. There is a donate button there now. So if you do want to donate so we can continue to make this podcast, it does cost a lot of money for us to make this podcast. All the gidgets, fidgets, and fadgets that we have to pay for them and pay for different types of platforms to continue to keep it going and to continue to keep our voice. So if you want to donate to us, donate to us. We won't mind. It will help continue to make this a better podcast and a better platform to get out to the LGBT community. And there are always, larger sources to donate to. So the Human Rights Campaign, you can donate to them. There's a World Human Rights Campaign, you can donate to them. We'll put some of these links up so you guys can find them. Please share your story on lavenderlies.com. You can email us, mylavenderlies@gmail.com. You can find us on the interwebs, which I definitely suggest, at mylavenderlies.com, Facebook, and Instagram. We are not on the Twitter, so you can't twit or twat us, but maybe one day we'll get there, doubtfully, but maybe one day. Anyways, we're here. We're queer. Now I'm going to go officially drink a beer. So thank you all. Thank you.
Good girl.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you all. Thank you, Killa Callie, who's not Killa Callie anymore. She is now Ally Callie, Ally Callie. So thank you for being an ally.
We're working on it.
Right, yeah. We gotta figure something else better because, I don't know. That one's not working.
It's a process and a journey, okay?
Mine just came out of the gate, Resi Lezzy. Like, come on. So easy.
I know. That's too easy. Well, that's too easy. I'm jealous.
I like to don't put Callie in a box, but that one's out. So if you got any suggestions.
I like it. It just seemed like a mouthful.
It is. A mouthful. Oh, wow. If you have any suggestions.
Oh my God, mic drop. I gotta go back to sleep.
Right? maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should do some sort of contest on the old interwebs.
To rename me?
Yeah, rename you. Yes, rename you.
Yes.
Done. All right, check out that contest.
Okay.
At My Lavender Lies near you, Facebook and Instagram. All right, I'm going to stop plugging us because it's kind of shameless at this point. But thank you all for listening and enduring this amount of worldly news. It's been eye-opening for me.
I mean, you know, it's kind of, it was a little depressing going into, but there was always a ray of shining hope and light because of the people that are fighting
for sure
for equality, right?
Right. I'm basic human rights. That's it. That's all it's about is basic human rights. That's all we want. So, all right. Until next time, my lovely crew. We will talk to you later.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.